And how about the appearance from the great Ron Burgundy, huh? A whale's vagina, which reminds me, Kim Kardashian's here. She's had a lot of black men celebrate in her end zone. Kim, word of advice, close your legs. You have more public beef than Kendrick and Drake.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Hey Man. I'm Josh.
I am Jacob.
Hey, man.
Hey, man, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. I'm amazed you didn't introduce yourself as Matthew McConaughey.
Well, listen, I am going to remind everybody every show that there are people out there who think that I resemble Matthew McConaughey. Listen, I don't want to upset you because I know probably looking at this Matthew McConaughey face really, you know, triggers you in some way, but just accept how Matthew McConaughey handsome your dad is, and let's just move on. All right.
You know what I'm accepting? You don't look like Matthew McConaughey. You look like Matthew McConaughey.
That is not true.
With that pink suit on with the cowboy hat? Hey,
I'm not wearing a pink suit. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about when you got the resemblance.
Dude, yeah, but listen, to reference something from 3 weeks ago in
that's
a joke
what
now
you're referencing.
That nobody can see, that you got to at least have a picture or something.
Oh, I'll have Matt throwing it on post.
Right now, this is more straight up, I drive a Lincoln, Matthew McConaughey. I'll drink some wild turkey, Matthew McConaughey. You want to light one up with Snoop Dogg, Matthew McConaughey. I feel like you're
Matthew McConaughey. Get off my lawn, you kids.
You think I'm old Matthew McConaughey? Where's my fiber?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey, when's the early bird special?
Listen, I'll take it because old Matthew McConaughey, also handsome. So if you're saying along the way, I look McConaughey, I'm saying that's okay. Listen, I don't know why they told me not to rap. That was about as organic as it gets.
Yeah, you should have used cap somewhere in there after rap because it would have been a great.
Oh, moment. I hopped out of my rap.
I thought you were going to say, I thought they couldn't tell me I could rap, but I was telling them that's some cap is what I thought you were going to go into. But that's why you're not a rapper. Matthew McConaughey.
Let me just tell you something. I'll take I was going to get a dap, but
for what?
Just to rap.
By the way, this is a fist bump. That's not a dap.
That's a dap?
This is...
Am I dap you up?
That's a fist bump is not a dap. A dap is one of... A dap is this, where it's like you... No, it's here. That's a dap.
That's not a dap. That's a handshake.
That's a dap. Dap me up. That's a dap.
Yeah, dap me up.
No, that's a fist bump.
Yeah, not when you're McConaughey.
Or when you're born in before the...
Come on, let's get that joke out of your mouth.
Yeah, I was...
Let's get the joke.
Yeah,
how'd you
born
do?
Before the millennium, but that was eased up a little bit. Hit the brakes too hard. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but I wore a long sleeve today because the last time I was here, I was extremely self-conscious in a tank top.
Listen,
so I covered every inch of my fucking body coming into the show today.
On the other hand, I've been going nuts out in my sauna videos because I feel like that's what McConaughey would do.
Dude, that angle makes you, it's such a weird angle. It makes you look ripped and super malnourished at the same time.
Well, sometimes you got to be malnourished to be ripped at my age. As my dad would say, even a starving rat has abs. Yeah.
Your dad used to say that?
Yeah.
Did he, or are you just making that up?
He told me once. He was like, I was like, look at this. And he was like, you know, even starving rat has abs.
So he was just making
calling
fun of
me.
You.
Yeah, he was basically calling me skinny.
Which is a compliment, I guess.
Well, I don't take it as either.
Other than him calling you a rat.
Yeah, it was kind of a joke.
I understand that. Yeah.
But yeah, man, I accept all the McConaughey comparisons that I've been getting online, and I say thank you.
Online?
Yeah, when I posted that video about that person saying I looked like McConaughey, a couple people were like, I can see it. Now, there were probably a couple who were like, that you're not close.
98% of them.
How do you know?
I'll pull it up.
I don't want to pull it. I don't need
to. That's what I thought.
I only read the first three and they were just like positive, positive, positive. And then I'm like, I'm going to shut this app. This seems to be, I'm playing the percentages right now. What are the odds that you get three positives? You know, listen, dude, I do want to say, first of all, thank you to all the people in Batavia, Illinois, who sold out those shows, and brought that amazing energy.
Yeah. Thank you for showing up to your, coming out of your made up Narnia holes. I don't know. That place doesn't sound real to me still. Like Batavia. That doesn't sound like a real place. That sounds like a sub branch of Narnia.
Here's what I do love about Batavia and the small town of it.
Great people, though. Great people. Great crowds.
This is what I love about small towns. Stores, independently owned stores in small towns, their business hours are a little wonky. Because dudes or women are just like, yeah, I own this. It's a town of 12,000 people. Here are my hours. For those of you who don't know, I buy a guitar in every city I go into and I give it away at the end of the weekend. So I go into this local guitar shop called the Instrument Exchange. And Jacob and I show up around 1 because we're going down to get some lunch and I'm like, I'm going to get this guitar first.
Yeah.
And the hours on a Friday for this guitar instrument store were 2:30 to 6. So I was like, well, those are weird banking hours. Okay. And so we go back at 2:29. There's nobody in the store. The lights weren't on. He had not showed up yet. So yeah, we go back around 3:30 and three people walk in at once. And he goes, whoa, nobody's here all day. Now I get three people at the same time. And yeah. I was like, dude, when you're only open 2 hours a day, all of your customers might come in at the same time.
Yeah, we all have to schedule around our schedule to when we can fit in a weird midday early bird special at the fucking Instrument Exchange.
Who is he selling guitars to? Unemployed people? 2:30 to 6?
That's when the kids get off school to when the parents get off work. And then that's it. Like, who comes in those hours?
So I told him, because I was doing the mushroom show on Friday, and I was like, I might come in tomorrow to buy another guitar, which would have been Saturday.
Right.
And I said, what are your hours? What time do you close? And he said, we close at 4, but get here at before 1:45 because I'm usually gone by then.
So he's only open for 4 hours, but still leaves early?
And clearly isn't there when it's time to open either. And he was so flustered by three people walking into his store at the same time.
I did get told by somebody at the vault, though, that his store is closing down.
How could they tell?
Apparently he said he's going out of business. It's like he's going to retire.
Yeah, I think he's kind of retired right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, great time in Batavia.
The best, might have been the best coffee I've had on the road.
Great coffee shop.
Limestone coffee and tea. I remember it. That's how good that coffee was.
Delicious.
Holy crap.
We had a great time. And this weekend, we're in Philadelphia. The week after, in Austin, Texas, both with Lee Syatt.
And this Thursday, we're in L.A.
Yeah, I'm not sure that this will come out in the morning. Yeah, of that.
But
if you're there, guys, there's still a couple tickets left. We would love to sell it out and show Netflix that your boy sells things out. Besides that, look, man, the show in Vegas last night was amazing. I had a little, I don't know, I was having a day yesterday, man, but.
Yeah, I mean, well, you had a day before, though, too.
I did throw up at the airport.
Did you say that with a question mark?
Yeah, was it at the airport?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude. Okay. Can I talk about it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So, Saturday night, after our shows in Batavia, they're all chilling out. That comedy vault, the employees are chilling.
It was the amount of garlic and all of the hummus and all of the pita. That's what I threw up.
Pita?
Yeah.
Did you say pita?
Yeah. Sounds fancy. Paella. Sounds like a character on Game of Thrones.
It sounds like you had a stroke midway through saying paella.
Paida. Paida, it sounds like the woman who's going to kill the White Walker. Paida?
Arya?
Close.
Not even. Like, you couldn't be more far away.
Both ends in A. Yeah, Frank is further away than Paida from Ida.
That wasn't, you didn't even get her name right that
I didn't,
time.
What was it?
You said Ida. Aria.
Aria ends with an A. Paida ends with an A. It's got an A and an I in it. Aria.
Aria doesn't have an I in it. I'm pretty sure it's A-R-Y-A.
Aria? No way. It has an
is
I
it,
in
is it.
Is it
A-R-I-A?
Sure.
You seem like a Game of Thrones guy, Matt. Yeah, it's Y-A.
It's not when you translate it to English. I was just saying that was going to land. It didn't. Yeah, that didn't land.
None of it landed.
Yeah.
And so he ate a bunch of garlic and pita apparently the night before. And he wakes up Sunday morning. We have a flight at 9 a.m., which, by the way, we should start doing that more.
And by the way, can I just say, guys, as somebody who does not eat gluten at all and doesn't eat sugar and doesn't eat garlic, it was just my body just did not digest it.
Yeah, it was too much of it. And in the morning, he was having issues, whatever. Minute we get to the airport, we park the rental car. We walk into to get onto the tram to the terminal. We pass a bathroom. And he goes, eh. And I go, why don't you just go try? No more than 40 seconds later, I hear you echoing in that bathroom.
You could hear me from outside the bathroom growing up?
I was 25 to 30 feet away
Easy.
From the entrance to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Not only could I hear the echoing in there, I watched every single person who was in there walk out and go, oh, what the fuck?
I did hear one person go, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and everybody else after that outside, because they didn't want to hurt your feelings, were like, oh, Jesus. Like, yeah, it was. And then I watched one dude walk in there, a dad, who was like, I'm going to use the bathroom real quick, walked in, heard it, didn't even make it to a urinal, walked right back out.
Yeah.
Came over to his family and he said, someone's having a morning in there. I'll catch it at the terminal. Like, everybody knew what was happening. And then you came out and see, this is where also I would say, why don't you blow your nose after letting demons out?
Yeah.
Everything's here. So blowing your nose after is like the way to go.
Gross.
Anywho, but he came out, could have blown his nose, tears streaming down your face.
Yeah, it was a violent.
Yeah, it was
happening.
It was a rough one for sure. But you made it into the terminal. Did it happen again?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
In the
American Express lounge.
Oh, after
not in the American Airlines
lounge. After security.
Yeah.
Got it. And then we got back. You made it through the flight. You didn't have to get up.
Did not. I. If I can fall asleep, if I had stayed awake, I'd have thrown up.
Yeah. Yeah. But so we made it back to Vegas. We get off the plane and I legit looked at him and I go, dude, go home. He goes, but you're driving us. I go, yeah, but it's going to take 45 minutes for us to get our bags and at least 10 minutes for us to walk over the car.
Yeah.
I go, that's an extra hour. You don't have to be here. I go, I will get the bags. I will come drop them off. Go home. And when I came over to your house, I was texting in our group chat with you, me and mom.
Yeah.
And mom was just responding for you, just responding, telling me where I needed to be, like what I needed to get to you guys. I was like, yeah, I'll talk to him tomorrow. Like, I was just going to let you, had a day. I was throwing up on travel days is,
you know, I have
rough.
To tell you, out of all the sick things, fever, throw up, bronchial, diarrhea, what are the other ones? Throw up is my most preferred.
Preferred?
I would rather throw up than have a fever. I would rather throw up than have diarrhea. I would rather throw up than have terrible cough.
Nah, I disagree on every single one of those, actually.
Really?
Throwing up legit can I be honest? I think it's partially why I don't drink so much. Throwing up, legit, top five least favorite thing.
I don't mind it. It actually,
psycho.
It actually feels... I don't get any relief from having a fever for 48 hours. I don't feel relief from diarrhea. I actually feel after diarrhea, like drained and worse.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't, that cough bothers the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But throw up, I'll just throw up.
I don't like any of them. Let me just put that
out
there. Of course,
yeah, nobody likes
it. I don't like, you do feel better after throwing up. For me though, it's the action. It's...
Okay, if I'm going to rank them 1 through 4.
From
best to worst.
From most preferred to least preferred?
Yes.
Okay.
Vomit?
Nope.
Fever? cough, diarrhea.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so most preferred, least preferred.
Yeah.
I'm going cough, fever, diarrhea, throw up.
When you say cough, not just like a, but no, like a
chest yeah, cough. Like a, I got sick.
Terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm cough first.
Yeah, I could throw up. Fever.
Not a chance. What would you guys pick?
Yeah, I'm curious.
I mean, there's got to be other ones, but those are like your four, like...
Dude, did you see the fucking roast of Brady?
By the way, that's how our brains work.
Did you?
I've seen my clips.
By the way, did you see that Nikki Glaser used a joke? And by the way, guys, take it easy. She didn't steal this joke. She could have never heard it because it was at the roast of David Ortiz, which never aired. But do you remember I said, Gronk, you put the downs in touchdowns?
Yes.
She said that.
Rob Gronkowski is not all here. Hey, Rob. No, Rob, you're not really as dumb as you look and sound and act and are. No, Gronk, I love you. You put the downs in touchdowns. You really do. You put the special in special teams.
No shit.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
It was amazing. Guys, so just so you know.
And by the way, that's not us her getting mad at her. That's us so happy that the same joke got used again, actually. Yeah,
because I was always, out of all the jokes that I told about Gronk that night, I was bummed that one in particular never get a chance to air.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, I put together a roast of David Ortiz for his retirement weekend, right?
Yeah.
And we had Gronk and Pedroia and Anthony Mackie and Bill Burr.
Tatiana.
And so we had a bunch of people. And one of the jokes that I did about
Gronk
was you put the downs in touchdowns.
Yeah, super funny.
But I want to tell you something about.
Love that joke.
The Barassa.
So funny.
I wish we could air that, but Nesson bought it and then buried it.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart on their part because we would have. Just killed with that.
Yeah, not. I mean, they bought it before they saw it. I don't think they understood how roasts go, and they're a family network, so it's not like they could air it. But okay. Do you the Brady roast? Let me just say this. Look, there's a difference between hey, this is a funny comic, and this is a roaster.
Yeah.
And Tony. Yeah. Hinchcliffe and Nikki, and by the way, they're both funny comics.
Super funny comics.
But Tony and Nikki prove it every time. They are so next level. Hard for me to pick which one I like more. I thought Nikki's was nonstop, zero misses. I feel like I text her after every roast, like, you fucking crushed that.
It just didn't feel like there was any breath there, like, and it was perfect. Like, she just... murdered. Like, I just, there's no way around it.
But low key, my favorite jokes of the night came from Tony, who was like, Gronk, nice of you to take a break from writing letters to Santa to join us here tonight.
Gronk, I'm happy you could take a break from writing Santa letters to be here today.
And then he said, I knew you showed up when we ran out of chocolate milk backstage. Get the fuck out of here. Because it was such, those are such smart, dumb jokes.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
They are, and they're not dirty.
No.
They are such smart, dumb jokes. Because what you can fall into as a trap at these roasts is just hitting lowest common denominator, shock stuff without being funny.
Yeah.
And that's not it. Because the joke writing, the level of expertise is so high at this that you just can't come up in shock value. That shit doesn't work anymore. But Tony, I want to tell you, okay, I have so much respect for him, man. You know, they tried to obviously cancel Tony too.
Yeah.
And I love people who are like, you're not going to define me. Not only you're not going to define me, I'm going to keep doing what I do because I know that there's merit to it and people like it. And so fucking it was so funny. That roast
is up there.
Yeah.
It's up there. Top tier. Like I'm not going to lie. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
One of my favorites still to this day is that Bieber roast.
Yeah. Great.
That Bieber roast is.
But Nikki Glaser going in on Jeff Ross. Nikki Glaser going in on Jeff Ross. Is honestly, like, what I've been thinking about him for so long.
Jeff, killer set. Congrats on the weight loss, too, ma'am. It must be nice to know that being fat wasn't what made you disgusting to look at. That's... You really put the ick in Ozempic. It's... Jeff, you look like your pronouns are it, that. You look like something cancer catches. Are you pickled? I'm confused.
Like, what happened to him? Like, he looks like he started melting and just stopped midway. He looks, you know what he looks like? You know the end of the first Indiana Jones where that dude starts to melt?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It looks like they stopped midway and they're like, that's Jeff Ross now.
He looks like a half-melted candle.
He honestly looks like a lizard person that went, that they were smelting. Is that what it's called? Like, they were peeling their skin midway and
molting.
Just... Yeah, molting.
Molting?
Dude,
molting? Yeah, molting.
He does. He looks like an old dude's dick at the YMCA. That's what like, he is taken ugly to such a different level.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I don't, it looks like he started chemo, but he was like, you know, he's mid chemo, not enough to lose weight, but enough to be like, God damn,
dude. He kind of looks like the after product of like somebody on The Biggest Loser who went back off the diet.
He looks kind of like, he looks like a super villain that his power is turning into a hairless cat.
Dude, I've seen older, or like when I say older, I mean younger pictures of him. And yeah. I don't know which of him looks worse. That one right now or that Jeff Ross in a black fedora? Like, both of them are pretty bad.
No, both pretty bad. Like, dude, he is as hairless as the women that he tries to fuck. Like, it is crazy what he fucking looks like
right
now. His
curtain matches their drapes.
Dude, he is like, he looks like a run over piece of gum. It is the craziest fucking thing I have ever seen.
Oh my
God. I don't know how this happened. It's a good thing he's a comic. It is, because you know what he looks like? Honestly, if I was a cop and I was driving down the street, I was like, we should just put him in jail. He's up to no good.
Yeah.
He is clearly a supervillain, because if you walk around looking like that all day, you're mad about something.
He looks like Lex Luthor's older and way less successful brother.
Dude, he looks like Lex Luthor's Down syndrome cousin is what he looks like. It is like...
He looks like ex-Luthor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He looks like he's transitioning, but into a penis. You know, it is the fucking... It's crazy. Yeah. But I felt like
he looks like a butterfly who went halfway into his cocoon phase and then just stopped.
Yeah, this isn't a good look for him. It isn't. The Nikki Glaser line about, was that, did she do the crypto? Me not with the Gronk.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like,
yeah, dude. I mean, across the fucking board. And yeah. And let me just also say,
that's the comment right there. It says, me know that not real money.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
The who did the joke? I think Tony did the joke about Hollywood jamming Nikki down our throats. Also super funny.
Nikki has such a bad eating disorder, the industry keeps shoving her down our throat.
They were so, but Tony might have had the joke of the night telling Colin Sam Jay was a black lesbian. She doesn't go down, like, she doesn't eat somebody out. She oh hell gnaws them. Fucking hilarious.
Sam Jay, an obese African-American lesbian. So by having here, Netflix checked off a lot of boxes.
So many Kevin Hart small jokes were great.
I love making fun of Kevin Hart.
I will say, for Brady, you know, you got to have a good sense of humor. And most athletes, because remember we did the David Ortiz one, I was like, I told the guy who we were running it with, I go, we should do more. And he was like, find another athlete that people care about who has an ego that will take a beating like this.
Poppy was the perfect person.
Perfect, mostly because he told me beforehand he doesn't speak English and won't understand what most people are saying.
Which
about
was great. Also.
But Brady, doesn't matter what these people say.
The GOAT.
He's fucking Tom Brady.
The fucking GOAT.
Yeah.
I will say, at the beginning, though, did you see when he came in and leaned into Jeff Ross after he said something about Robert Kraft?
Yeah.
Where he said something about Robert Kraft and he came up and he said, don't fucking say anything else about that ever again. And he was like, oh, my bad. Like,
yeah.
Was, do you think that, was that like something Brady actually wanted to say? Or do you think he just said it as a joke? It didn't sound very jokey.
I think he wanted him to know that that Robert Kraft shit was off limits and that you can say whatever you want about me, but that's my dude. Is what I think.
Interesting.
Is what
okay.
I think.
Okay. Okay.
I
just feel like that's a, I guess not a weird line to have. I guess the roast is about him and not about,
I mean, I do that all the time with you.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit what you say about me. I'm here for it, but don't, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
So
fair enough.
But I thought this was, whole thing was great. I think and there was a lot of racial jokes. Tony's material.
And a ton of Aaron Hernandez jokes.
Yes. But my point being, it's crazy to me that people seem to be okay with the edgy jokes in this setting.
Yeah. But only because it's a roast setting.
Yeah. But if you're okay with it, you're okay with it.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
You don't get to just pick and choose. It's like there's a pass for you to laugh at fucked up jokes. Just because that's what the point of it is.
And this shows you that everybody has a sense of humor.
And a twisted one.
Yeah. And like, it, remember, you know, there was a, did you hear me, I think Saturday night early show, I tell a joke that's,
yep,
right?
Yep.
Some people like it, man. Some people don't. And I can tell right away that it's going to be too over the line for some people.
Yeah.
But after the joke, there was a woman up front who clearly didn't like it.
Yep.
And there was a guy in the audience who was kind of getting on her about it. And I was like, hey, dude, listen, here's the best thing about jokes. You get to decide what you like and don't like.
Yeah.
But you don't get to decide for other people.
Yeah, 100%.
And edgy jokes are such a perfect example of that. You don't get to decide what's funny and not funny for somebody else.
Yeah.
And you don't get to be offended for other people.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that happens a lot when I feel like, you have a song where you like, you make fun of, you know, certain groups of people,
mm-hmm.
right? I remember how you had different versions of that one where mm-hmm. it was like to incorporate everybody.
Yeah, it was called the inappropriate medley.
Okay, great. So in that, when you would hit a certain community of people, it was always like the one person who would say that's not funny is some random white woman.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? And it was always like, for me, if you were saying, oh, that's not funny, you can't say that about them, I was always like, you're a closet racist. Like, 100%. Like, that speaks...
Why do you think they're a closet racist?
Because if you look at... From what I... Like, not from what I've seen, but, like, it always shows to me when it's always a white woman. It's just... Always is. When a white woman doesn't laugh at, like, an edgy joke, sometimes it's a racial joke... Like when white, like when I've seen those white women don't laugh at that, it's them trying to hide their own kind of views on shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like they're trying to hide it by, oh no, I'm going to stick up for this person when they're laughing at the joke, when everybody else is laughing at the joke, but I'm just that one white person in the middle saying, no, you can't say that about other people. They want to laugh at it, but they don't want them to be outed or think that people think they're racist when they are.
I don't know if I think that's true. I think that a lot of people feel like they're going to get bonus points for that type of social justice shit when they're not actually doing anything, just making comments on somebody's page about, you know, fight the inequality or, you know, whatever you're grandstanding against. It doesn't do shit. It doesn't. So I don't take those people seriously because I assume they're not doing anything in real life. They're just sounding off on.
Yeah.
I would say this also. I would say a lot of people with prejudices and or bigotry don't think they are racist because they're not out saying the N-word and burning crosses.
Right.
That's not the only form of racism or bigotry or there is, right?
Absolutely not.
And so like, but not everything is racist and not everything. Look, man, as a Jew, trust me, now is a time where I'm hearing plenty of Jew hate online.
I bet you are.
I definitely am. But like,
yeah,
You know?
Yep. I understand.
All right. But the roast, amazing. I am going to reach out to, well, now that this is like, we I don't think we could sneak it by on somebody doing another athlete now that Netflix is getting in on it.
Yeah, but you did it first.
So it doesn't matter. Somebody will see this and there'll be an athlete who will want to do it, but it's got to be somebody with a sense of humor and confidence.
Hard to find.
I bet you Dion would do it.
Oh,
I bet you Dion would do it. You just got to be somebody who's so otherworldly confident that all of this shit or with sense of humor doesn't get to you.
Was there a roast of Shaq or no?
Probably. Shaq's one of those dudes.
But I don't think we roasted Shaq. I think Shaq roasted, but I don't think everyone's ever roasted Shaq.
I don't think so. I think maybe there was a roast of Shaq. We'll find out.
I feel like that would be such a good one. He's the perfect dude for it. Because you can say whatever you want, but he's a 7'4 gigantic human being. Like,
it just takes somebody.
He's got a great sense of humor.
Kobe would have done it. Because Kobe was type A, alpha, through and through. I don't give a fuck what you say about me. How much money am I getting paid? Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, zero chance Michael could do it.
Michael Jordan? Nah, he wouldn't do it. But think about people who have. I mean, Larry the Cable Guy did it.
Yeah, but he's a comic. He understands it. That's a different level.
I agree.
Like, you would do it.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I would do it just to get the chance to roast everybody else.
Yeah.
I like writing jokes like that.
Yeah.
Like that, little Jeff Ross riff. I like shit like that.
Yeah.
Yo, dude, I went off on somebody last night at the show. Did you hear me up front?
No. Was it right up front?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Who was it?
It was that dude. Yo, and I didn't, when I say off, I didn't go off.
Wait, where in the crowd?
On stage to the left, just an older guy.
Whole fucking crowd.
It was an old crowd.
It was like a nursing home convention. Yeah. Was it Vegas?
I kind of pointed that out. I was like, hey, dude, just proof of life. Can you blink or something?
The dude in the front row who was sleeping? Did you see him?
No, I didn't have a sleeping
guy. There was a dude sleeping during my set. I almost was like, hey.
Was that the dude with the matching pink shoes with his wife from Jacksonville? Nah, that wasn't it.
Okay. Remember the row? There was a row of women right in the front row.
Yeah.
They saved me, by the way.
Yeah.
Nobody was laughing at my shit except the four of them last night.
Hilarious.
Shout out to those women. They kept me alive up there. But the row right behind him was a dude.
Yep. Two older dudes.
Yeah. Yep. The one on the edge. Yep. I remember at one point he was just doing this and his buddy was like, hey. And he went,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bro was dozing.
Dude, did I ever tell you that story?
I let him go, though.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, it was Cinco de Mayo. It was a rough weekend. I'm letting him.
Did I ever tell you that story about that I had a pitch meeting with Stan Lee?
What?
Oh, you never knew
you met Stan Lee?
Oh, dude. Okay.
Wait, no. Answer that question first.
Yeah, if I had a pitch meeting with him, of course I met him.
When was this and where was I?
Okay, so.
I'm sorry, I'm yelling, everybody. I'm very upset at this right now.
There was an years ago, I got a email and was like, hey, Stanley's company is looking for a superhero hangover movie. And I was like, I am not interested in that. However, I have an idea for them that I'll go in and pitch. And since mine's not going to be a superhero hangover movie, it's going to be completely different. They're either going to love it or hate it.
Yeah.
So I go in and I give the elevator pitch. And they were like, that's great. Can you come back? Because that's what they were just taking. Quick pitches.
Yeah.
So it was him and his partner at the time, a guy named Gil Champion.
What a great name, by the way.
And so, so I go back in and I have my pitch. And Stan and Gil are in front of me. And I go into the pitch. And, you know, I'm 2 or 3 minutes in. And I'm just in awe of being in front of this man who truly culturally does not get enough zhuzh for how influential he's been on Americana. If you think about Marvel Comics, how many young people they have affected the over the years. The it's been amazing, right? Just the stories,
and also the superhero culture, period. End
dude,
of sentence,
the amount of money that's gone into America because of amazing, right? All right. So we're there. And I'm over them and I tell them right up front, I want you to know how just overwhelmed I am that I'm here with you. I used to order your comics. They were delivered to my house. And he was like, I remember that we used to do that. And I was like, yeah, dude. So my brothers and I all collected different comics, but we would read each other's comics, and we couldn't wait till the next one that got delivered. Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much for being such a huge part of my life and my childhood and all that stuff.
Got to get that out there.
I'm sure he had heard it.
He hears it from everybody he meets. Yeah, 100%.
Dead now, but...
Met. RIP Stanley.
Yeah. Okay. So I go into the pitch, and I'm like 2 minutes in, and Stan starts nodding. In the pitch, we're this far away from each other. He starts nodding, and Gil laughs at something I said, and instead of slapping his chair, he slaps Stan's chair, and he wakes up.
Hilarious.
So about 3 minutes later, same thing. He just starts, and Gil again, wham, wakes him up. And so he starts to nod again, and Gil goes, and I go, hey, dude, obviously his battery needs to recharge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When you're that old, the life battery's like, right? It's what happens to Biden every now and then.
Yeah, sometimes you just need 15 minutes to come back.
You just need to recharge the life battery. Yeah, sometimes it's like when Uncle Joe's talking, he's like, and then and somebody gives him like a defibrillator, boom. He goes, oh, and they jumps up. Stan needed a clear, boom, oh. So I just said to Gil, I go, hey, I'm going to finish the pitch with you. I'm going to leave this. I never leave my pitch, but I'm going to leave it so he can read it. Let's just let him sleep out the rest of the meeting. So I do the rest of the pitch to Gil, stands asleep. He wakes up right as I'm leaving. And he goes, great story, young man. And I was like, thanks, buddy. All right. I hope to hear from you later.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
When was this? What year? And why was I not there?
You were too young.
Oh.
What year? Shit. Trying to think what agency I was with. I think I was with CAA. So that is a long time ago. Long, long time ago.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
I was with the Death Star, and they repped me, and they did such a bad job.
That's so dope, though. I didn't know you ever met Stanley.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it was crazy. And the idea was amazing, and they loved it, and I wrote a script, and then he died.
Oh.
And then it turned out, actually, mine was the one they were like, you know, I'm sure they chose a couple other ideas, but they had me write a script, and I needed a spec script at the time, so I wrote it. I still have it. It's actually a show that a movie that I built out, I think is better as like a...
Can I read it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to tell you the idea because I don't want anyone to
take it. Yeah. I just want to read it. I just want to read it.
Of course.
Fucking so cool. Yeah. See, this is one of those moments where like people ask me, they're like, when did you know your dad was famous? And for a long time, I mean, you know, they asked me that a lot.
Who does?
Well, not like nowadays, but a lot growing up, it was like, yo, do you know your dad's famous? Like when we'd go on tour, like when I'd come with you. Or we'd be with Cable Guy or Chels or whatever. Like, even on the tour road, just you and me.
I don't consider myself famous, by the way. You know that, right?
I don't consider you famous.
Okay, good. Thanks for saying that.
You're welcome. You're my dad. If you were fucking Tom Brady famous or not, to me, you're just my dad.
Right.
Like, that's just what it is. But a lot of people do ask me that question. And mainly, like, the first recognition really for me was like, well, I did go on TV and ask a girl to homecoming. That was pretty fucking legit.
Yep.
But just for my own sake of when did I know, like, how do I know my dad is famous? Not when he was, but how do I know he is? This is one of those stories where I'm like, yeah. He's actually like a person of interest type shit. Like, you are my dad, but you're not just my dad. Like, you pitched a fucking script to Stan Lee, which is bonkers to me. That's fucking awesome.
I also interviewed Bill Gates.
I know that. Not as cool as Stan Lee.
Kind of crazy.
Not even close to as cool as Stan Lee.
I have to tell you, man. I've done so many things in my career and been so lucky. I'm so grateful between the sporting events that I've gotten to go to and cover, between the amazing people that I've met, between and the venues that I've got to play and mm-hmm. the countries that I've got to travel to. And I would tell you, still the best of all of it is touring with you.
That's very nice of you, man. I really appreciate that.
I still...
We've done some pretty cool shit together.
Listen. All those other things that I've mentioned, a lot of people in my position get to do. But every time I hear from another comic, it's about, dude, how fucking cool is it you get to tour with Jacob?
No one does what we do.
It's without a doubt, man. I know it's, and I say it every time I'm on stage and every interview I ever do now, but I didn't know this was the dream until it started happening, yeah. You know? And so like...
Sorry it took so long.
No, man. It all happens at the right time.
Yeah.
And honestly, maybe 15 years ago when I wanted more on me.
More!
Right? I wanted more on me. Although it's you, so I probably would have been good with whatever. But whenever somebody says something to me about you being funnier or something good about you, my response is always good. I want him to be funnier. I want him to have a better life in every way. All of my kids. I want the goal for me is for all of my kids to have a better life in every possible way.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
On that same note, you know what Iman told me in the car last night?
Huh. So that I look like Matthew McConaughey?
Actually, never has she once mentioned it ever.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No, not at all.
Okay. Does she think you look like Ryan Gosling?
No. She makes sure I know that I don't look like Ryan Gosling.
Do you think you look more like Ryan Gosling or I look more like Matthew McConaughey?
Can I answer neither?
No, because you know that's not true. Which one do you think is more closer?
I mean,
closer?
I guess I would pick you because I look zero like... I look
make
zero,
the clip, Matt. Make the clip.
I look zero like Ryan Gosling.
And you, I look 97 like Matthew McConaughey.
One like Matthew McConaughey.
Which part?
I can't
white skin?
Yeah, you're an old white man. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I would choose.
But listen.
Wait.
And we have the same bodies.
No. You pulled up a picture of Matthew McConaughey's abs last week. I've seen you with your shirt off every weekend. You don't look like that.
That's exactly what I look like.
Prove it.
You just go on my Instagram, everybody.
Exactly.
Just go on my Instagram.
Don't go on his Instagram because he's legit going to take that beach picture of McConaughey and face picture, like Photoshop his face on top of it. And I fucking know he is, Matt. I fucking know he is.
I clearly don't have to do that. But
I think you also know how to use Photoshop. So you
zero
can't
chance that I'd be able to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I downloaded Adobe Workshop Photoshop Print. It's got some of those words in it.
Adobe's the brand. Photoshop is the app.
Oh, is it that what I downloaded? The Adobe Photo Print Shop?
Adobe Photoshop.
Adobe, the guy from Harry Potter?
Dobby is a free elf.
Adobe Photoshop.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
lie.
Anyways, I have that on my computer. I'd like you to show me how to use it.
Iman can show you how to use it because I don't fucking know how to use it.
What did Iman say on the ride home?
We were in the car and she said we were driving and I did like my set last night, but it was just like a nursing home crowd. It was, they loved my AOL joke. And so I wasn't super happy with my set. I just wasn't happy with like the overall, I guess, energy in the room, you know? And, I was saying that on the ride home. And then she said, you know what your dad says to me every time I come to a show? And I go, what? She goes, every time I come to a show, whether it was there 2 weeks in a row, a month apart, whatever, he always comes up to me and says how proud he is of you about getting up there and how you're getting better and how you're trying new things. She was like, he just always preaches to me how proud he is of you.
I am. I'm super proud of you.
Yeah, it was very nice. Very nice to hear that from her. But I mean, I know you are proud of me.
I tell you all the time.
You tell me all the time.
Yeah.
But still to hear you talking to my girlfriend with like the time you guys have together, you could be in the 10 minutes I'm on stage. Y'all could be talking about being anything else.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A gazillion other things.
Yep.
And yet that's still the topic of conversation. And I think that's very nice. And I appreciate that.
Well, of course, dude. I watch, you know... I have to balance dad and comedian all the time with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I lean towards comedian because you don't need your dad when you're trying to get better. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. You don't need your dad when you're trying to get better. You need somebody who's been doing it as long as I have to be like, hey.
And here's the thing also. I know that at any point in time, if I need you to turn the dad on, whoa, pause.
By the way, that 100% is a saying I'm going to start using.
Pause.
Come turn the dad on. Come on over here and turn the dad on.
Pause.
Hey, babe, get in here. You know what you got to do right now? Come turn the dad on. Yeah, dude. I wish I could do a Hank Hill voice because I would be like,
Bobby,
Beth, come in here. Turn
God,
the dad on.
God damn it, Bobby.
God damn it. Turn the dad on. Yeah.
Mom, I'm so sorry that that's going to show up at the house now.
Are you kidding? Tonight, I'm going to whisper in her ear. Turn the dad on. You know what time it is? It's time to turn the dad on.
Just hear Marvin Gaye start playing in the background.
Bow, 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 bow.
Anyways, but I know at any point in time, if I need you to, you know.
Turn the dad on.
Stop it. Damn it. Sure, we'll stick with it. That I know you can. You know what I'm saying? Like, if dad needs to show up, dad shows up. You know what I'm saying? He's got an on-off switch, apparently.
Let me tell you something right now.
God damn it. I'm so mad at myself for that.
Yeah, because I'm going to have to write a song called Turn the Dad On.
Dude, you're going to... Okay, speaking of writing songs, Matt, this is the perfect transition for this. Okay, the Kendrick Lamar Drake beef, right?
Can I just say off the top of my head?
Yep, go ahead.
And I know I'm old white guy, but rap battle beef is so... Let me actually make an addendum real quick. It's the single dumbest... but smartest thing, the fact that because if it's real, it's the dumbest fucking thing.
I just also don't know what causes it. Like,
it's so petty and stupid and fucking dumb if it's real. Now, if it's to generate clicks and spins, which I think it is, smartest thing in the world, and the people who are falling for it, you're the fucking dumb.
But can I ask you a question from that point of view?
Yeah.
You're not a big modern day rap guy. But you know who Drake and Kendrick Lamar are.
I do.
Kendrick is going to go down as one of the greatest of all time.
Okay.
Drake, on the other hand, is what I think of as my generation's rapper. I had a little hiccup, sorry.
Okay.
Like, with the amount of stuff he's put out, Drake is quantity over quality.
Okay.
100%.
I don't understand the point.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
God. Kendrick is quality over quantity. Like, you look at his four studio albums. That's beside the point. They're just all greatest of all. They're all time hits. Why are these two making diss tracks to get clicks and spins? They don't need them. That's my question. Is if it's not real to get clicks and to get plays, why? Because they both have Drake has like over a billion plays every month.
Dude, but nothing keeps you relevant than your name being more than your name being in the news. Drake, okay. Listen, Drake, out of Drake. Anybody knows how quickly you're there and then you aren't. That's it. And for Kendrick, same thing, man. Nothing. And I know you disagree with this, but I don't. Being an artist, and I'm going to take your word for how good he is and how revered he is in the business. So for guys like that to be like, everybody loves me, but why is this dude outselling me by quadruple or whatever the fuck it is? That's where that petty shit comes from, for sure.
Yeah, but also on that same note, it's not that Kendrick can't do what Drake does.
He cannot.
I disagree. Kendrick, I'm telling you, as a fan of Kendrick and as a fan of Drake,
yeah,
Kendrick 100% could sell stadiums out like Drake does. Kendrick just doesn't go on tour. He doesn't put music out every year. He takes 4 years to put out an album. Dude, he put out Good Kid, Mad City in 2012, which is his first studio album,
okay.
Which is my favorite album. That album's a banger. It's high school. I love it. He then put out an album called To Pimp a Butterfly, which won 7 Grammys and is one of the most critically acclaimed rap albums of all time. Okay, I'm getting there. Just hold on. Damn, his next album, okay, won a Pulitzer Prize award. No rap album has ever done that.
Dude, nobody's questioning this dude.
But that's what I'm saying is he can do what Drake does on the road. But Drake is constantly, Drake has the money mindset. Kendrick doesn't.
Dude,
Kendrick's not worried about money. He's worried about legacy.
There's a difference between somebody who's way more appeals to the masses with their music, Justin Bieber. Okay. So say Bieber appeals to the fucking masses.
I love his new music, by the way.
Yeah, man. But it's not like you have other artists saying this dude is the best of all time, but he appeals to the masses in a huge way. I don't know enough about modern music to give you an example of like somebody who's maybe winning some awards or who the modern era musician really likes.
Yeah.
They just don't sell as many tickets because they're not appealing to the huge wide swath of people. That's what I would compare. I'm not saying this dude can't sell a ticket, and I'm not saying he doesn't know how to write a song, but he doesn't know how to write a pop song like Drake. That's not who he is. Has he written pop songs like Drake?
Like Drake? No, he's got some. I mean, he's got some.
Has he had the commercial success that Drake has?
No.
Okay, so you can't tell me he can write that music because he's not.
Yeah, but Drake doesn't write his own music.
But this is not the point. I'm not saying Drake's a better artist than this guy. What I'm saying is, it's like, can I give you an example?
Sure.
All right. I had a friend of mine named Brody Stevens.
R.I.P. Brody Stevens.
Who was a comics comic. And people would run in from the back. Other comics would run in to see his set.
Right.
And I've always loved seeing things like that, but it's never happened for me, right?
Right.
My other comics aren't running for me.
Not yet.
But Brody also didn't sell any tickets.
Right.
And I remember sitting in the back of the Comedy Store with him one night. We were just watching some comics. And I said, dude, what's it like having the respect of all of our peers? They run in to see your set, dude. From everywhere. It's like nobody was here. And as soon as you walk on stage, there's like 15 comics in here. And he goes, what's it like being able to pay rent with money that you make from your job? You sell tickets.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm saying. When you're in it, you don't, this is why what I'm saying, this is magnified by a gazillion. But if Brody's Kendrick and I'm Drake, you're looking at it from the other way. I'm sure Drake 100% would love to have the respect of his peers. Because he gets shit on a lot by people who consider themselves artists.
A ton.
Right? I'm sure this dude who gets all of the fucking love and all of the respect from peers and critics is like, how come I can't sell a quarter of a ticket that this dude does?
Huh.
And so I think there's some jealousy in there. And I think, can you imagine if like, Chris Stapleton and Sturgill Simpson started writing diss tracks about each other. It's the dumbest fucking thing, but the smartest I have ever. And the people who fall for it, God bless you, dude. But just watch a Yo Mama show. That's what we're doing.
Yeah,
it's Yo Mama diss track.
I will say I'm in a very neutral ground because I love both artists. Like,
yeah,
I'm not picking one or the other.
Yeah.
Because I still like both music, both artists' music. And I will say, every track that drops, I'm like, oh, they're winning. Nope, he's winning. Nope,
but he's winning. But this is why I say smart. Because they are all, every single person who's a fan of both of these people are listening. And other people.
And the haters. Kendrick fans are listening to Drake's disses, and Drake fans are listening to Kendrick's disses because they're trying to pick it apart.
Both fan bases are listening to both. It's super smart because you know who else is listening? Casual fans.
Yeah.
I listened to, and you know, I don't give a fuck, but I'm like, what is this? So this is real smart. We're going to see a bunch of more coming out because this has dominated
the news for the last.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the beat I'm about to play you right now is not Kendrick or Drake. This is how this all started. Let me just real quick. There's a producer named Metro Boomin, who you see up there. Okay. Yeah. Metro Boomin and Future, the rapper, who I like also. You like some of his stuff.
It's
not really.
It's kind of trappy. I don't like it.
Yeah, he's got some pretty vibey stuff, though. Okay. Anywho, they did an album together. Metro has been known for doing this with artists. He's done it with Big Sean. He's done it with 21 Savage. He's done it with a ton of other people. So it's just all Metro-produced beats and only Future on the album. So on the last song of the album is where the Kendrick verse came from. The last song of the album is called Like That. And that's where we all kind of discovered that Kendrick was sending shots at Drake and J. Cole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with all of this going back and forth, whatnot, Metro Boomin, the producer, because in one of Drake's songs, he says, Metro, shut your hoe ass up and go make some drums. Like, go make some beats. Like, why are you doing any of this?
Mm-hmm.
This is the beat that Metro released. And I'm not going to lie, this beat is 4 minutes. It takes me 20 minutes to get here. I listened to this song 5 times on repeat. There are zero lyrics, just like kind of like a background, like vocals, but the beat. I just want you to also read the lyrics on screen.
I thought you said there's zero lyrics.
Just, it's like, you know, when you hear a song and you hear like somebody kind of in the background while the dude is rapping over it, it's that.
Okay.
So, but also Metro has accused Drake of getting a BBL. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
A Brazilian butt lift. So, you know, when the girls, they pretty much just like, in layman's terms, rearrange their fat.
Yep.
And so that's when girls end up with a massive ass and curves. And it's
I get it.
So he's, what?
I mean, it's pretty silly.
It's silly, but listen to this beat. This beat is like, and just the lyrics that come on stage, or stage screen. Go ahead, Matt. The beat itself, I love so much. It's very like 70s.
Yeah, it is.
Like this is what I expect, right?
No, it does. It feels like...
Got the best BBL in history. Wait, ready? Ready here.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty good. What do you mean there's no words?
This is just... But like, this is like the... This isn't a song... Like, this isn't what it is. This is, he released this beat and said, whoever raps the best verse over this gets this beat. Like, I will give you the rights to this beat. These yams deserve a trophy. Baby, ain't no mystery. I got the best BBL in the history. Like, this beat is crazy. Like,
it's pretty good.
That's all I needed. Man.
It's pretty good.
But that little drop right there was so good. Like,
yeah, I actually would listen to that song.
Dude, I'm waiting for somebody to actually drop a track because like,
honestly,
that
like,
beat goes crazy. Like,
it's like Foxy Brown. It's like a theme song from Foxy Brown.
Yeah, wait, will you go back, Matt? I want to hear the drop one more time. I just can't like, was it like 40, a little more? Yeah, yeah. It's so good. I don't know why. I think Metro's winning this war just by this beat.
Well, this song's good.
Just by the beat. It's so fucking...
And it's silly. BBL Drizzy is silly.
BBL Drizzy.
Like, yeah, it's silly. I like it.
I'm thinking that a ninja... These yams deserve a trophy.
Yeah, it's so
got
good.
Got the best BBL in the history. It's crazy. Good. I'm good. That's all I wanted to show. All
right.
But yeah, I just thought you would enjoy that. Because it is silly, right. But also that beat goes, I'm not going to lie.
Dude, how'd you get my arm on there?
Oh, this is the next thing I want to show you, Matt. And I were talking about this. He showed me this morning before I walked in.
BBL Drizzy.
Yeah, you're going to be,
BBL Drizzy. BBL Drizzy. All right, what do we got?
Yeah, okay, so this is something that I didn't know about The Rock. I think we should just play the video, Matt, right? I don't think we should even explain anything. I think we should just play the video, and that's what we're going to do. And hit me.
I want to show you a brand new colorway for the Rock Delta training shoes.
Here we go.
This is called Desert Sand. It's a badass color. Never seen before.
Look at the bottom.
Getting a training shoe. And I just realized you just saw my big bottle of a pee. Look, I go hardcore when I train. I don't have time to go to the bathroom. I find a bottle, I pee in it, and I keep training like a beast. This November, USDNA, get ready.
I don't hate that.
I I know you don't. I actually think you love that.
Yeah, I would, if I had my own gym like this, I would 100% pee in a bottle.
How wild is that though? It's just, dude, that, the, like,
it's what I love about this dude too.
Also, his piss was neon.
By the way, he could have just like reshot that.
He can't be that, he can't be that healthy. His pee doesn't look that healthy.
That's a lot of vitamins right there.
BBL Drizzy. BBL Yo, Drizzy.
I'm not gonna lie. I might walk out to it.
And BBL Drizzy.
Netflix is a joke.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, just walk out on that beat drop and just, I got the best BBL in the history.
It's, BBL Drizzy.
Yeah, I'll send you the YouTube link because I've listened to it in the car.
Yeah, I'm going to have. How do I get it on my Apple Music?
You don't. It's only a YouTube. It's only a drop on YouTube.
Yeah, so. I don't know how to play that in my car though.
You just go to YouTube and hit play.
Huh?
You just go to YouTube and hit play.
In my car, go to YouTube?
On your phone.
Huh?
I don't know why I'm entertaining this.
BBL Drizzy.
Dude, this guy right here, I would totally pee in a bottle. I would pee in a bottle. I would shit in a bag not to leave the gym. 100%. Yep.
Yeah, that's some psycho shit right there.
Yeah, I don't mind doing that.
That's some psycho shit.
I've thrown up in the trash can and kept working out for sure.
I will say, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever thrown up mid-workout. I've only ever thrown up
post-workout. Oh, I've thrown up mid-workout.
Nah.
I'm in for it.
I've only ever thrown up post-workout.
Dude, I was so mad yesterday at the gym.
You seemed mad, period.
Yesterday. I was mad yesterday.
I know.
And I will tell you, dude, being mad like that at the gym, I love it.
Did you go to the gym prior to me coming over? Yes, you did.
Yeah.
You were still mad when I got there.
Oh, dude, Delphine was like, oh, you're mad today, huh? I was like, yeah, let's just fucking do this.
And she's still, did she try to piss you off or did she?
She laughs. That's what I love about her. She knows.
Psycho.
I got to send you the video she sent me of her when she was working in the Cirque show.
Oh, sick.
Dude.
Oh, will you also send me that video of me singing?
Yeah. Wait, you going to post it?
No. Well, I got to see it first.
BBL Drizzy.
I love how much you love it.
BBL Drizzy.
It's pretty catchy. Like, it's pretty good. We should write something to it.
We should write, you know what we should do, dude?
You said doo-doo.
We should have a rap battle.
Well, were you and I write diss tracks against each other?
Wait, we've done that. I'm gonna actually cut it and air it.
Oh, we have done that.
Okay. All right, listen, dude. Tell everybody what we're doing.
Well, first and foremost, thank you guys always so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it. The shows and the energy and everyone showing up has been outstanding. Batavia, thank you, thank you, thank you again. This week, when this airs, we will be performing May 9th, Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival in Los Angeles at the Bourbon Room. I'm so excited. I'm not going to lie. I get goosebumps thinking about it because ever since I started doing comedy, I've been waiting for the day that I get to go up and say, Los Angeles, how we feeling? Because that's the city I grew up in. And it's pretty exciting for me, just like in my new career. With that being said, we're also in Philadelphia this weekend. Our best friend, Lee Syatt, will be joining us. We are in Austin, Texas the week after, May 19th. Lee Syatt will also be with us that weekend.
Pretty Oklahoma excited. City the week after that. But the week after that.
I wonder if OKC is still going to be in the playoffs.
Maybe.
Might have to go see a game.
That'd be amazing.
That would be dope. For anything else, any info, tickets, where we are, comedianjoshua.com for tour dates and tickets. Go see us. Come see us. We are everywhere. We are having so much fun. Josh Wolf Comedy on all platforms. It's Jake Wolf on TikTok. Jake_Wolf on Instagram. And thank you guys so much again and again for the newbies, the oldies, for those who are hearing this in the future and will join us in the future. Thank you, thank you, thank you. None of this is possible without any of you. And last but not least, do something nice for somebody today. Tell somebody you love them. We'll see y'all next week.
Hey, guys.
Oh, okay.
One last thing.
It's not how we're ending it.
Yeah, one last thing.
You got to cut me off next time.
one last thing. If you like what you're listening to, if you like what you're watching, please tell somebody, like-minded person who you think might like it as well. Don't forget to leave comments, download, rate, subscribe, all those things. The algorithm likes it. And it turns out, guys, we're all sucking the algorithm's dick. So get in there and slurp it for us.
Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man.